You're listening to Rethinking Sustainability, thoughts, ideas, inspirations for a livable future. How do you cope with the climate crisis? It's a tough question that vexes me more each day, and something I discuss in an earlier edition of Rethinking Sustainability. Part of my answer is to not give up. Don't surrender to despair. And here, Jo Clay tells a story of how she chooses hope versus helplessness, action versus inaction. Jo Clay is a Greens member in the ACT Legislative Assembly.
I think, like most people alive today, I've been living with climate change my whole life. And I often these days think of it as standing on the edge of a cliff. And the reason I think about that is because when you're standing on the edge of a cliff, you have to be really aware about where your feet are. You're looking at your own feet. You're very aware about where you are, what you're doing, what you can do in this moment, at this point in time and space. What can I do? But you're also looking at that bigger picture. It's that sort of thing, global act, local thing. You're looking over the edge of where things might go if we don't get it right. And you're looking out to the horizon for where things could be if we do get it right. I started thinking about this when I was a kid. Back then, we called climate change the greenhouse effect, and I assumed when I grew up that it would have been fixed by the grown-ups and I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore, but it was so scary. It was such a scary idea. And then I grew up and I went to uni and I studied law and got a creative arts degree and did a few things. And climate change hadn't been fixed. The grown-ups hadn't fixed it. It was much, much worse than it had been. And we all knew it was worse. We were all standing on the edge of this cliff and we weren't even looking at our feet. We weren't looking over the edge. We didn't seem to be doing anything at all. And that was even scarier. And I sort of started out life, I think, like a lot of young people back then. I think young people now don't have the same luxury. You know, I was enjoying uni and I went out and I got a job. I came to this realization at one point that actually lawyers weren't going to fix climate change. We didn't need a whole lot more lawyers. And I realized that standing on the edge of this cliff, that wasn't the right thing for me to do. And I decided I should go out and do something more useful. I got a job in recycling, which was really good, and I learned about it. But again, it's this slow, slow journey I think a lot of us have been on. I think we've been taking far too long on this journey. I learned how to do things differently and I learned how we could reshape the world. But I was working in ACT government at the time and it was so frustrating because it was so slow to bring about change. And you'd hear about these massive problems that we were experiencing and you'd hear from the IPCC and you'd hear from people who were protesting and you'd realize that we were acting in this really, really bureaucratic, slow way and trying to adapt to what was actually a crisis. And that was pretty confronting too. I think what really turned me around and engaged me to start taking what I felt was more useful action is a moment that happened to me when I had a baby. And I've spoken to a lot of parents. A lot of parents have had this same experience. When you have a baby and you start putting a face on the future generations that maybe you've been talking about for a long time, it gets a lot harder to disengage. When you talk about future generations and that future generation has a face that you love and that you know, cuddle every night and read to every night, you find that you actually can't not do something useful right now and do everything you can. So I think that was a really good motivating thing. I tried a few different things after that. I set up a recycling company with some really great colleagues of mine in Canberra who I'd met when I was working in recycling. And I set up a climate change project. That climate change project gave me a lot of hope because I worked out how easy it is to cut your footprint. I actually set out to cut my carbon footprint by 75%, making different changes every week. And I did it quite quickly. In the space of a couple of years, I'd cut my carbon footprint by 75%. It was, again, this massive moment of hope and this massive moment of frustration at how slowly our governments were moving when actually quick change was really, really possible and really, really simple. And sometime after that, I got a bit of a tap on the shoulder from the Greens, who were looking for a candidate in my area. And I wasn't particularly planning on getting into politics. That had never been a thought of mine, but I was doing a lot of volunteer work in the climate movement and running a whole lot of green ventures, and I was able to do a bit of volunteer work for them for a few months. So I said, oh, yeah, sure, I can help out for a few months and then hand over to the next person. And I accidentally got myself elected in 2020. It's been a really interesting experience ever since. I came in with this really clear idea of what it was I was there for. I've been helping out at the school strike movements. I've been working in climate change very deeply, I guess. And I was there to do everything I could every day to try to work on climate change and make our future a better one than it might otherwise be. I sort of often feel that I'm standing on the edge of this cliff and looking over and trying not to fall, but trying to edge back slowly. It's been a really strange experience because working in politics, certainly in ACT politics, because we're quite small and nimble, you actually can make change really fast. Before I got there, the ACT government had switched to 100% renewable electricity. That was another enormous moment of hope when that happened. It's, you know, literally somebody flicked a switch and now we've fixed one of these massive entrenched problems that government and industry said was impossible to fix. So I think it's great to see that kind of really powerful action. But then you also spend so long, and I think anybody who's watched Question Time would know this, you spend so long arguing about things that don't matter or getting bogged down in politics and details that actually don't affect people's lives at all. And you realise the whole time we're all standing on the edge of this cliff and we actually need to be pulling together and doing some more useful and active things. There's a few things that I do to try and keep focused. I talk to my daughter a lot. She's 10 years old now. It's fascinating when you try and explain a problem to a 10-year-old or explain a solution. They cut through any guff. They cut through any propaganda. They go straight to the heart of the matter and quiz you in a way that you've never been quizzed before. It's a really, really good way to test your ideas. I often read IPCC reports, and I've noticed I sort of feel like a lot of the scientists probably feel a bit like a lot of us do on the edge of this cliff. They've gotten increasingly specific in their reports. Back when I was younger, their reports were a bit more high level and scientific, and they wouldn't necessarily come up with specific solutions. These days, the latest IPCC reports, they all come out with these very specific local government recommendations. They tell us exactly how we should build our city and exactly what sort of transport systems we should be building. And they're getting more and more prescriptive, I think, because they just don't trust us to do it. I watch the carbon inventories. This is probably a very strange hobby that I'm not sure how many other people share, but I watch the carbon inventories. And again, you can see some things are really, really improving. Our energy is going really well here in the ACT. Even our gas is going quite well. Our transport emissions are skyrocketing. We really haven't done anything effective at all. And I think checking in with some of that stuff is really useful. But I think at the end of the day too, I often bring myself back to these images and these natural world images, probably also because it's a nature-based image, but this standing on a cliff. I often talk to young people and I hear a lot of young people use similar imagery and similar words like this. I think the best thing about standing on the edge of a cliff is it's a beautiful place to stand, and you go either way, and we can still go either way. And there's a lot of us standing up there looking over the edge. I think these days I certainly feel like it's not just me standing there looking over. I think it's a lot of us standing there peering over the edge, and hopefully we're starting to walk back from it.